After Mike Tomlin's press conference here at the UPMC Rooney facility on the south side, Tim Benz and Joe Rutter with you as the Steelers get ready for the Carolina Panthers on Sunday. The question is, who will be their quarterback? Mike Tomlin not ruling in Kenny Pickett from his latest concussion, not ruling out Mason Rudolph from competing for that job with Mitch Trubisky. That's the impression I walked away with, Joe. Let's go with the backups first, then we'll circle around to Kenny Pickett's situation in just a little bit. But if he can't go, if he is ruled out and not able to return after he was able to return within a week following his last concussion, it sounds to me like he's going to use practice as his guide to determine who's going to be the starting quarterback between Mitch Trubisky and Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that's the way it came across, you know, from my standpoint. That, you know, normally you would think he would say, okay, Mitch is our number, you know, number two. He's going to be the guy. He didn't go that route. Although, you know, he did sort of commend him for the way he was aggressive going down the field against the Ravens. But yeah, it sounds like he's going to let Mason Rudolph get an equal number of snaps for the first time in a while, and you know, and make a determination based off that. You know, and I think, you know, even though he says he's not going to be any more cautious with Kenny Pickett, I think, you know, the situation dictates that maybe he has to be that way as far as allowing him to come back. So I think it, you know, they're going to get a chance to get some snaps at some point, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, maybe even into Friday.
Is it just me, or is maybe Tomlin a little irritated that Trubisky came in and had a distinctly different tone to how he approached the game, in the sense that it felt a lot more, okay, you sat me down once before, I'm going to do it my way this time?
Yeah, he let it all hang out. You know, he just went out there and started throwing the ball around, and some bad things happened, but he did, he did at the end there, moved him quickly down the field to get that touchdown. If you don't throw the interceptions, you win the game, but, you know, he was more aggressive, and, you know, had they pulled that game out and Kenny Pickett still was in this situation, I think he'd have been quicker to go to Mitch Trubisky. But, you know, maybe that did annoy him to some extent, where he's literally, you know, considering Mason Rudolph as an option.
I can't imagine, if that's what's bothering him, what he's expecting Rudolph to not do then. Wouldn't Rudolph have the same approach?
Yeah, probably, you know, because Mason's got 31 other teams he's trying to impress for next season, because he's not going to be back here with the way he was, you know, kind of dealt that hand in training camp. So yeah, I mean, no matter who plays, unless it's Kenny Pickett, you know, you got two guys that are looking for a chance to, you know, state a case for job opportunities next season.
Because Trubisky, even though he's under contract, that would A, require the Steelers wanting to honor that contract, yeah, and B, wanting to honor it at the full price. So I'm sure Trubisky doesn't want to stay. So if Trubisky wanted out and the Steelers don't want to pay what's currently on paper, that's an easy way to have a divorce. The question then becomes, what are you paying to get a backup in here to be the number two behind Kenny Pickett next season?
Yeah, I
don't think they want to have a rookie behind Pickett.
No, they don't want to have a rookie behind Pickett, and so you're starting fresh. So you're going to have to bring in some kind of backup that has experience, you know, in the NFL, more of a veteran type of guy that you're going to get for the $3-4 million range. What you have on the hook for Trubisky next year isn't, I mean, it's a lot for a backup, but when you're only paying your starter on a rookie contract, it's maybe not that bad. But yeah, I think the way the situation has gone throughout the year, I don't think Mitch Trubisky would want to be back, and the Steelers probably would, you know, try to move him or release him if it came to that.
My guess is they start Trubisky if Pickett can't play, and if he throws three interceptions in the first half again, that's when they go to Rudolph. But I think Trubisky would have to play himself out of that game.
I would think so. And if you're going to go by on who is the most ready at this point of the season, it's Mitch Trubisky. Mason Rudolph, you know, like he said yesterday, he's gotten maybe a handful of snaps with the, you know, the first team offense in you know, workouts, you know, maybe not even the second team. So yeah, Mitch Trubisky's the more experienced, but then again, Mason Rudolph does know this system and could go out there and do it. But I think the safer route would be they play Trubisky.
If Mason Rudolph were to get the start, doesn't it reek of, okay, Mason, you soak this up, you clean up the mess?
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, maybe it's also a way to rewarding a guy for what he's done, you know, for, you know, being the good soldier for the last 4 or 5 years here. You know, he's had opportunities where he could have started. You know, look at last year against the Chargers, practice all week up until Saturday night. He's going to start against the Chargers. Well, then Ben's cleared from COVID. He flies out to L.A. and, you know, starts and takes Mason's place. So, you know, the guy has put up with a lot here. You know, maybe that's a way to reward him. I don't think Tomlin's in the business of rewarding guys for being good soldiers. But, you know, hey, you know, anything can happen.
From that vantage point, I guess you're right. It could be viewed as go out there and play because you may just sit on the shelf for this entire time. But also with the way the team is performing, I don't know if that's a reward, especially for a guy who, like we talked about, wants to put something good on tape for the rest of the NFL to see. And I don't even know at this point what Tomlin's agenda is. Like, maybe the agenda is to give Rudolph 5 games. Hopefully he does well and then wants to stay because they put him back in and he's not going to be that expensive to keep. I don't know.
That certainly could be a possibility if they, you know, say, hey, Mason, look, you know, we made a mistake with you. We'd like you to stay. You know, you know, you'd be comfortable here as a number two. You know, we'll let you fulfill that role. Maybe he does that. I mean, you know, I don't know where he would be in a position to start anywhere else. And I don't think anybody on the team would bring him in for a chance to start. He'd have to, you know, go, you know, dig his way up from 2 to maybe 1 or 3-2 to 1 with another opportunity. And you know, maybe he takes that here. But it would have to depend on how he's used in the last stretch of the year.
Now let's get to Pickett and what his status is. According to what Mike Tomlin said, it doesn't matter that he has had a concussion once already this season, that if he's cleared to play, he's going to play. It seems like he is intentionally washing his hands of decision-making here, that he doesn't want to have any public input into whether or not the concussions play a role in decision-making from an administrative point of view, that it's all in the doctors.
And you know what, Tim? We just love to talk about this type of stuff.
Oh, yeah. There's nothing I enjoy better than playing doctor for a full week.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, you could tell pretty much Mike Tomlin was like, look, it's in their hands what they say. I'm just going to do what they say. You know, that's how he operated in the game with, you know, he explained why it was handled the way it was and why Kenny Pickett was allowed to go back for that next series. And he's going to take that approach this week. If doctors, you know, say he can play, he's going to play him. You know, yeah, you know, he also, though, you know, and as I'm trying, I was talking myself maybe out of this because I'm thinking of the way he handled Ryan Clark in Denver, where he was cleared that he could have played, but Mike Tomlin said, no, I'm not going to put you at long-term risk like that. Maybe Tomlin has one of those moments to himself and says, wait a minute, this is our future quarterback. I can't let him get dinged around a little bit. Yeah. So even if he's healthy, I'm going to sit this guy maybe for a game or two and just let him, you know, kind of heal up on the sideline. Maybe he does go that route, but at least in the way he was talking today with us, if he's cleared, he's playing. So we'll have to see if he's, you know, honors that.
The Clark thing, though, could have ended in death.
Yeah,
the Kenny Pickett thing, in all likelihood, I mean, a worst case scenario would be a third concussion.
Yeah,
and that's not good, especially in 2 weeks. But it's not death.
Yeah, but I, you know, and I'm just going by what Tomlin said on that podcast, where he's like, "Look, I, you know, I got to watch out for you guys. Just be on football. You know, this is a life decision, rest of your lives thing. Yeah, this is not, but it is Kenny Pickett's future as a football player. He gets a third concussion against Carolina, then you know you've got to wonder, you know, what the long term ramifications are.
I don't like the implication of the suggestion that the protocol didn't work here, that some people are saying, oh, how could you miss it? How could you miss that he was concussed and then figure out he was concussed 1 drive later? Easy. He got smoked, got thrown to the ground, looked like he landed on his arm or his shoulder. I bet you something else hurt. Somebody apparently said he got the wind knocked out of him too. I know just from personal experience playing softball, flag football, that I've had concussions, and when I've had collisions with people, other things in your body hurt first before you realize your head hurts. So, you know, like once the adrenaline goes away from the pain, once that subsides, then sometimes you stand up, you look around, and everything's a little fuzzy. And maybe that happened with Pickett.
Yeah, and it could be.
And it certainly sounds like he didn't report it. It sounds like from what Tomlin said, they continued to monitor him, and then they realized that he was not right. So, I mean, to me, for those that want to indict the concussion process of, oh my God, how could you put a guy in there who was concussed? Well, they kept an eye on him. And if you want to keep him on the sidelines longer, then you're getting into really compromising the game as well. Because if you're going to apply that standard to someone who might be concussed, you might also be applying that standard to someone who isn't concussed, especially a quarterback. And I'm not talking about, you know, for the 5-8 Steelers against the Ravens. What if it's Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot of good points there. You know, they handled it, I guess, about the only way you could handle it. You know, they did monitor him. They didn't just send him back in the game and, you know, cross our arms and sit back and enjoy the rest of the game. They followed it closely. Maybe when he came back to the sideline after that three and out, he said something that made them think, oh, maybe he's slurring his words. Maybe he looks glassy-eyed. Maybe something's going on. But they made the decision, and they got him out of the game. And you know, I don't know how else they could have handled it. You know, and the one thing was, he was in that tent for a long time before he came out. So they were administering a lot of tests in there that, you know, so I think they did a thorough job with that. And if he passed them, he passed them, and then, you know, you move on. But, yeah, they waited. They continued to they followed up on it, and they got him out of there. So, again, I don't know what more they could do.
Finally, Joe, the Carolina Panthers are a good running team. At least they were last week against the Seattle Seahawks, 223 yards on the ground. They employ the third most jumbo packages in the National Football League. One of them is the Arby's package with 8 offensive linemen. It is so dubbed because, according to David Newton from ESPN.com, one of the offensive linemen said, "We got the meats." I can't wait to see the Arby's package against this run defense based on what we've seen for the last 6 quarters.
Yeah, and you know, and this is with Mike Tomlin saying they did have an extra body in there at the end, knowing that the Ravens were going to, you know, run. If you know, the Steelers are going to try to stack the line of scrimmage and put as many people in the box as possible, and they still can't stop the run. You know, this could be another long game for Carolina because, as he said, you know, they've had much consistency with the offensive line and the guys they use in the running game, even if the backs have changed, you know, with after the McCaffrey trade. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if this team can stop that, because, you know, again, I think this is where you're feeling the loss of Stephon Tuitt to retirement. You know, even when he was out, they couldn't stop the run last year. They're having flashes of not being able to do it this year late in the season, you know, and that's a trend they're going to have to, you know, fix for next season.
You say that as soon as the train comes down the tracks running unimpeded. If I was looking for any sort of analogy, there it is. All right, that'll do it for us today from the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex on the South Side. Tim Benz, Joe Rutter, Reed Joe, and Chris Adamski from here at the facility all week long leading up to Steelers and Panthers. You can also read me daily at Breakfast with Benz. And check me out on the pregame show in advance of Steelers and Panthers. That's on DVE and ESPN Pittsburgh at 9 o'clock Sunday morning.